Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Festival of the birth of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we, who joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, may with sure confidence behold him when he comes to be our Judge, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arms before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or with the will of flesh, or with the will of man, but of God. And the world became flesh, and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Bromidosis. Onychomycosis. Hyperkeratosis. And onychocrytosis. These are all scary sounding terms. In case you're not familiar with them, these terms are medical terminology for stinky feet, fungal nails, corns, and ingrown toenails. Ugh. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns," says Isaiah. Feet, though, are not something we in the 21st century tend to think of as beautiful, or the hallmark of a messenger of God. In fact, feet fall pretty far down on every list of body parts from surveys. But you see, that's where the good news starts, with the sweaty, tired, bruised feet of a messenger who's run perhaps hundreds of miles to bring an anxious people the word peace, to announce their release from captivity under the Assyrians, to declare that their God reigns and will once again become the center of their lives without fear of Assyrian reprisal. The poetry is so lovely, the words so familiar, and we so easily miss the physical and bodily references here. The feet that run, the voice that announces, the ears that listen, the eyes that see. This is flesh and blood that carries and receives the message. The return of the Lord is felt and heard and voiced and seen. No rarefied, abstract, conceptual account of the divine, but a tangible, bodily reassurance. There's something remarkable and different here. Later in Isaiah, we read, "From ages past no one has heard, nor ear has perceived, no eye has seen." Yet now, the ineffable, mysterious, and all-glorious God is present in ways that the human body feels and knows and senses. God has done this. As St. Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit." God makes God tangible. On that action, we can certainly rely. These few verses from Hebrews that we have heard this morning take up the same theme. God has spoken to us by a son. And that's just what it means. A son, a baby born of a woman, an infant squealing its new life, a burping, gurgling, messy bundle of humanity, demanding food and warmth and comfort. This is not an angel. And the author of Hebrews is being very careful in the words used. This is not a mystical, spiritual being, an entity of another realm of existence. No, this is a person, a human being. Indeed, all things are sustained by his powerful word, but that doesn't mean that he's not human as we are human. We have been spoken to. And that comes in the things of conversation, dialogue, discussion, and gossip that we know as keeping company with one another. You see, in the mystery of the incarnation of God becoming human and living among us, God keeps company with us. The word's not abstract reason with a capital R, but rather God's bodily self-revelation and self-communication. A student once came to a rabbi and said, "In the olden days, there were people who saw the face of God. Why don't they see the face of God anymore?" The rabbi thought for a moment, and then he replied, "Because nowadays, no one can stoop that low." God keeps company with us. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. Again, we hear and yet don't hear what's in these familiar words. Sure enough, we're meant to hear in John's famous words a reworking of the very beginning of the Bible. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was a formless void. There was darkness over the deep, and God's Spirit hovered over the water. God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." So John has, "In the beginning was the Word," and later we hear, "A light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." The parallels in the wording draw the two stories so tightly together to make us see that the author of John wants us to connect this hymn to the Logos, to the Christ, with Genesis' story of the beginning of creation. In the beginning, the light shines in the darkness. Whatever else this passage is about, it is clearly about a new creation in the coming of Jesus, a new way of understanding and experiencing the link between the eternal and the temporary, what's heavenly and what's earthly. In the beginning, God created a new and wonderful thing. In the beginning, human beings walked with God in the cool of the evening. In the beginning, there was love, peace, and harmony between Creator and creation. With the coming of Jesus, the creation is made new again. There is a new détente between Creator and created, between heaven and earth. We're given the ability to become new again and to walk in the garden with God once again, unafraid and unashamed. We are given the ability to become children of God. In Genesis, God is described as delighting in creation and humanity as part of it. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And when wisdom is described as part of God's character, a similar thought is repeated. Wisdom is described in the book of Proverbs as rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. John recognizes that divine pleasure. The life was the light of all people. But he takes it further, and it's captured in that little word, flesh. It wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that word with a capital W and flesh, undoubtedly with a small f, were the polar opposites in the way John's hearers thought. The logos was a term they would have recognized from Greek philosophy, a word related to the eternal wisdom of what we know as God. Word related to God's eternal purposes. It was an aspect of that divine wisdom that goes way beyond human experience. It has about it qualities of the infinite, the indisputable, and the perpetual that are entirely different from the decaying and limiting thing we call ordinary life. Flesh, on the other hand, referred to all too obvious limitations of living: corruption, earthboundness, and degeneration. John's hearers could look around themselves and see all the consequences of the flesh: disease and age and corruptibility of mind and heart. And so the contrast is made plain in Isaiah. All flesh is grass, and its beauty like the wild flowers. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God remains forever. And the same usage is there in our Christmas gospel when John speaks of the will of the flesh, meaning humanity's perverse and mixed motives born of bodily limitations and urge. And yet John links this same term with the divine word, the Logos. The word became flesh and lived among us. Word and flesh, divine and human, eternal and earthly, holy and humdrum, the sublime with stinky feet. This is the very center of our faith. This is the very heart and center, the beginning and end of the gospel, the good news of Christ. Because God became man in Jesus Christ, fully human and fully divine, we are reconciled to the Creator of all that is. It's only because of Jesus' full humanity that he would, some 30-odd years later, be able to give up the very life he took on in Bethlehem in order to show us the way to be fully human, fully the beings that God created us to be, to save us from our sinful thoughts, actions, and tendencies. This feast of the Incarnation, this Christmas, is the very beginning of the mystery of our salvation. Saint Athanasius from the 4th century said very famously, "For the Son of God became man so that we might become God." We're meant to recognize our true potential in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're supposed not only to believe in him as our Lord and Savior, but to look to his humanity as our humanity perfected, as the ideal of what God created human beings to be. Years before his anti-Nazi activities led the theologian and underground pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer to imprisonment and then death. He said this in a sermon. Jesus Christ, God himself, speaks to us from every human being. The other person, this enigmatic, impenetrable you, is God's claim on us. Indeed, it is the holy God in person who we encounter. God's claim is made on us in the wanderer on the street, the beggar at the door, the sick person at the door of the church, though certainly no less in every person near to us, in every person with whom we are together daily. And later he said, Christ walks the earth as long as there are people, as long as your neighbor, as the person through whom Christ summons you, addresses you, makes claims on you. Christ is at the door. He lives in the form of those around us. Will you close the door or open it for him? The Word became flesh. Bask in the unfathomable mystery of that. God came down to become one of us, to save us. And that means that us are pretty important and not so bad. Remember that when you look into the faces of your fellow human beings, rich or poor, no matter what color, no matter what creed, or what nationality, we are all creatures created by the all-powerful and all-merciful God. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of God, eternally God and Father, God and Father, life and life, true God and true God, begotten and unmade, of one being with the Father, through him all things made, for us and for our salvation, he came down into heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world. We pray especially for the people of the Middle East. We pray for the church in Jerusalem. Pray for peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God. Pray that they may find and be found by God.
I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever.
Amen."
My beloved brothers and sisters, may the peace of the Lord be always with you. Good morning. Welcome and Merry Christmas. How long have we been waiting to say that? For many days, people have been saying Merry Christmas to me, and I've been saying, welcome to St. John's Cathedral. If you're visiting with us, please fill out a visitor's card. We'd love to stay in touch with you and let us know that you were here. Come celebrate New Year's with us. Join us for the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols at 5 o'clock next Thursday, New Year's Eve. Our regular Sunday service times are 8 o'clock in the morning in Cummings Chapel, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock in here. This Sunday we'll be celebrating the feast of our patron, St. John the Apostle. St. John's Cathedral is devoted to providing love at the core through our lives and in our city. Your gifts tonight today will further God's mission of nurturing children, feeding the homeless, caring for the elderly, and manifesting grace for us all. We are so blessed to have you with us. We'll walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because you gave Jesus Christ, your only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made perfect man of the flesh of the Virgin Mary, his mother, so that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become your children. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, Saint John, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the Church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who in the Word made flesh, join heaven to earth and earth to heaven, give you his peace and favor. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, let us bless the Lord.